You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, and my co-host, Keelan Harvey, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 12th show. We are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint, 1 week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to connect you with the guests that we have in studio. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Holly Fern with Lynn Mack Commercial LLC, and we're talking about the Seattle rental laws. Holly, thank you for coming back in studio.
Thank you for having me.
And a little bit about Holly. Holly is a third-generation real estate broker and property manager in Seattle at the Lynn Mack Commercial LLC office. She has over 25 years personal experience as a property manager. She helps her clients acquire investment properties as well as finding tenants for them and managing rental properties. She appreciates the relationship she develops with her clients. Holly is heavily involved in her community service as well as being a Girl Scout troop leader. Holly, again, thank you and excited for our conversation today.
Well, Holly, let's jump right in it. So how have the recent Seattle rental laws affected the rental market?
Well, there was definitely an onslaught of new rental laws that kind of hit us all at once and definitely had some effects for a lot of the landlords. I had my first eviction ever because of the perfect storm of not being able to properly mitigate the risk for my client. It was a nightmare. But then when this year hit, this year brought on the first-in-time law, which was defeated in court. I guess that was a couple weeks ago.
I want to say thank goodness, but I feel bad. I mean, who knows? But it was kind of a scary.
It was very scary, especially for landlords who didn't know what that meant. There was a lot of gray area. But it was causing the rentals to stay on the market longer and causing people to actually spend more money on their application fees because they were scared of losing the ability to be first.
Yeah.
So then you'd propose a lease and then they'd say, oh, yeah, I found another place. And then it would cause the rentals to stay on the market longer. So thankfully that was defeated and now they're challenging the criminal law, which is another nightmare because, again, it's forcing us to come up with different alternatives to screen and not have the criminal involved, where most screening companies don't have that ability. So it's costing the applicants more money to get the specialized. So it's, again,
a lot of, like we've been talking earlier, I mean, just a lot of change that's happening in Seattle right now. So, Holly, with all the experience that you have and your expertise, which Seattle laws are the biggest concern for a landlord that's listening to the show today?
Yeah, and again, these are Seattle laws. So if it's a property that's right outside of the city limits, it's not going to affect them. But I know the criminal not being able to screen for criminals is very scary. And just all of the laws, the not being able to increase the security deposit past 1 month's rent, not being able to charge things like the moving costs in a condo anymore, that puts more expense to the owners. And they're starting to liquidate and dump their rental properties in Seattle, which is, again, causing a housing crunch.
Yeah. And so for this, I mean, it obviously is affecting investors in a scarcity. We talked just a couple seconds with what's happening possibly with the luxury buyers and being afraid to come into Seattle. So I know you work with investors as well in purchasing real estate. Are you seeing that there's a lot of people that are just not wanting to deal with what the potential might be in Seattle and they're buying outside of the Seattle area because of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. If they were looking even a few months ago for a Seattle investment, they are no longer interested. They are looking in other areas. Tacoma's definitely got people's eye.
Because there's anywhere, a lot of exciting stuff going on in Tacoma.
Yeah. Or anywhere there's a new transit line going in. That's all prime property.
That's pretty scary. So how do these rental laws affect the real estate market?
Yeah, I think with dumping more rentals into the pool of purchases that's going to continue with the amounts that the prices are going up is going to continue to go up because you put more into the pool and there's still a heavy source of buyers and we're still seeing a lot of investors. So it's going to, you know, and I don't know if the new head tax is going to create anything. Mm-hmm. I tried to promise myself I wouldn't bring that one up, but
it was kind of hard with Money Chat and Randy.
And that's what I've been kind of thinking about with regards of what it's going to do to mm-hmm. our market as a whole. But the Seattle taxes or the Seattle laws are definitely having an effect with the way people are able to purchase versus having rental options.
Yeah, yeah. So, Holly, are the laws affecting anything else other than the local rental market and the real estate market?
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to push people outside of Seattle. So people are going to start flocking to the east side, the south end, the north end. And I'm seeing people leaving completely, leaving mm-hmm. the state and leaving the area.
Holly, are there any new laws that the city council is proposing that you think would affect the market?
Well, yes, I think that that head tax is definitely something.
Couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't.
That was the second time, Holly, you said you weren't going to bring it up.
I am very nervous about what that's going to do, and I really hope that they start really investigating what the adverse effects are going to be mm-hmm. with these laws before they just implement them, because it seems like they are on a railroad of trying to do things that they think are going to assist people who are struggling when it's just punitive to the landlords and those people. Not everybody is a corporation. They're mm-hmm. moms and dads and families that maybe have one or two investment properties, and they won't be able to participate. They're going to have to sell those properties.
I mean, you know me personally, Holly, and my commitment and passion to the homeless community. I do a lot of work with a lot of different organizations, and so I'm all in and doing everything that we can. But like you said, it's just really figuring out that balance and the strategic plan that's going to work in all areas. You know, I have to say I'm confident in our real estate market, and I think we've got our market's going to continue booming for many years coming with the crisis of lack of inventory. Maybe we need a little adjustment somehow. So as negative as may seem of the unknown of what's going to happen, regardless, I feel nobody has a crystal ball, but there's a lot of amazing things happening in Seattle and will continue to. So Holly, what do you think that the city council is thinking when creating the laws? What do you think is going through their heads as they're putting these together?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a behind the scenes with my husband's city council, so I know all the behinds chatting that's happening, but in Newcastle, not city, but our city, Seattle.
Yeah. And for example, at the landlord convention last year, the city council member came through our lunchtime and mm-hmm. had people shouting and yelling at us about the homelessness crisis as if it's our fault and we are all greedy. And she's really painted a picture of the greed factor and, is misleading people into thinking that these laws need to be initiated to assist. But I don't understand how the city council is getting behind these laws without hearing the voices of the landlords. I feel like they've really worked on silencing landlords because of their own agenda.
Interesting.
That leads me to the question, are these laws even helping the people they're intended to help?
Absolutely not.
that was a quick and to the point answer.
Nope, it's definitely having the opposite effect. Like I said, people are spending more money on application fees instead of less money. They mm-hmm. are... You know, they're not.
Which is making it more struggling for them to be able to keep a roof over their head if it's costing more money to actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the city caters to the tech worker. That's just kind of how it is. So anybody who's not in tech has to find whatever housing alternatives that are not specifically marketed to them. So living in an apartment downtown when you're, you know, maybe a food service worker and not making over $70,000 a year, you're not going to be able to afford that $2,000 a month apartment.
Yes.
So
Holly, thinking about it, because I know that you have a lot of thought in this. I mean, it's your industry, and you're day in and day out, you're working with people that are trying to get housing, and you're working with the investors, so you really have that balanced thought process. So what are some ideas that you have that you think could really help with homelessness and help with people that are having a challenge affording to rent in Seattle?
Well, I definitely think we don't need any more tax money. We have enough money to throw at, you know, the problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even speaking to some of the homeless people on the streets, it's not about housing. It's about the lack of services that they don't have.
Yeah.
And you know, there's that theme of other areas shipping in their homeless because they think that there's services here. And then that's a struggle for those homeless people because, of course, they get dumped off on a bus stop and are told, here's the land of opportunity for you. And they're, you know, going around asking for money and they're not getting off the streets. It's just
so really putting those efforts more in getting the services that they need and focusing heavily on that.
And asking them what they need.
Yeah. Yeah,
what
of
do
course.
They need?
Of course.
That's where they're totally missing the point.
Yeah.
Okay, housing, but that doesn't take you out of the chronic poverty that you've been living in.
Sure.
So that only puts a roof over your head, but that doesn't solve their problem.
Yeah.
And another thing is the cost to rent is insane in Seattle. And, you know, you can get under 1,000 square feet for thousands of dollars, literally. So when do you think this is going to cool off?
Yeah, like Randy was saying, you know, we don't have enough housing. So until that balances out, we're going to just keep seeing prices increase. Now, the positive is that Seattle is dumping a lot of money into, or the developers are dumping a lot of money into creating apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, that's and that has cooled some of the prices. But those are still way beyond what people can afford because they're only building the luxury type apartments, the nice apartment, because that's all they can afford to build.
Yeah.
So it's really not providing the structures that are needed. And, you know, homeless people don't want to live in a structure where they feel trapped. Most people like to live on the street because it gives them that freedom. So putting them in a little box is maybe not what's best for them.
Yeah. So again, having that, you know, that conversation and communication and find out really where they, where the needs are at and where they're going to be happy. So we've talked about not in great detail, which we don't need to because first in time is gone, but talk about the criminal and, you know, because they're going through some adjustments and some conversations around that as well. So you can share a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's definitely scary because, you know, we have no idea if we can't screen for criminal. What
so explain
kind of,
exactly what the law, the change, where it was and the change to it.
So usually when we're running a screening, we run for their credit background, their eviction background, and their criminal background.
Yes.
And that could usually pop up a DUI or, you know, a domestic violence thing. And that weighs on our decisions because if you're known to have domestic violence issues and we're putting you in a housing situation where there's close neighbors and you continue to have those issues, now you've created an issue for everyone. So that's, you know, and they go to jail, they can't pay their rent now. And now you've got a situation with the legal issue because they brought in a new, you know, significant other and... So that's something all to consider, and now that's out the door. So
because what the idea behind that and making the change is not with the the child molesters, but with those situations that you're talking about, that maybe the significant other, the wife, or could be the husband, was caught up in that, and it really wasn't their fault. They were in a bad situation, and really that other person that they're now with is not the bad situation, so they want to protect that spouse of or that significant other to have a roof over their head. I mean, that's really the why behind it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, everything is a big picture that we're looking at. Uh-huh. So when, you know...
So what comes into play with the other criminal acts, the really big ones? How does that play in with this law?
And what's interesting is, okay, so we can't screen for criminals. So if they do have a history of... you know, a sexual offense.
Yes.
We can't screen for that.
Yes.
Even though that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we supposed to know? They don't even want us to Google or, you know, look on Facebook or anything like that, because that could produce their criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do we know who we're putting into a property and what kind of tenant they're going to be?
That is actually very scary. There's no way to figure out exactly who your neighbor is at that point, and that's a very scary fact.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen with the law, Holly?
Well, I would hope that they could, you know, get that one tossed out too. But if it continues, then it's going to continue to be a higher expense to Seattle renters when they're going to apply, because we need a special screening. And yeah, people are going to get frustrated because they are going to find out that their neighbor has a history of robbery, and all of a sudden everybody's neighbor, you know, is being broken into and they don't know why.
Yeah, it's a, and I, you know, as we're wrapping our time up here with you, Holly, I, you know, talking to the listeners out there that, I mean, we are talking about Seattle. These are Seattle laws, but historically, things that happen in Seattle have made their way to our other cities.
True.
These are just really big things that are going on now. And so I, you know, and a lot of conversation from the other cities that are not agreeing with it. So again, it's just interesting dynamics of things that are going on. And Holly, I appreciate you coming into studio with us, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
Coming up next to the Money Hour, marketing, pricing, listing strategies. Deanna Fulton with Deanna Fulton Realty Group, right here at 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.